Hey everybody, hey, what did you think of the new open my team put together? I thought that was pretty cool. That's why we were 4 minutes late. They were literally scrambling and putting it over and said, no, let's play it. Let's get the feedback from our Millionaire Success Habits Monthly members. Guys, it is so awesome to have you here live. It's been an incredible month for me. Today we're going to talk about persuasion. We're going to talk about the power of persuasion, how to persuade yourself, and then in turn, how to persuade others and not to look at it through a negative eye. Look at it through a positive light. To know that nothing happens in the world without persuasion or without a sale. Nothing. That's the start of everything. And I want you to look at through the eyes of persuasion differently. By the time we're done today, I want you to be amped up and be ready to go out there and show the world what you can do in any area of your life, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's making more money, starting a new business, or rising up through the ranks of your company, or finally starting that new business, or you got that business that's kind of another job and you're not making the sales. So we're going to talk about that. But I want to share this month has been incredible. I've been really fortunate. And I'm right here. I have all your chats right here. So I will try not to look too much over here, but I want to see your feedback. I'm going to answer some questions at the end. You know, this month I had a 100K group is what we call it. Genius X, me and my buddy Joe Polish. We started a group where people pay us $100,000 a year to come and learn the next level strategies for scaling, growing your business, but also growing as a human being. And we bring in some of the greatest people. And I had that just last week, and I learned so much. We had Robert Cialdini. I don't know if you know who he is. He wrote the book Influence. Absolutely should read it. It's a must. It's one of the staples of business and scaling and knowing how to sell. Also had Vern Harnish. He wrote The Rockefeller Habits. He owns a company, Scaling Up. That's his new book, Scaling Up. Anyway, he owns a coaching company, business. He started EO. Great guy. So we just had great people. And what I love about these doing the live training, and I'm so glad that you had the faith in me to get enrolled in this. I truly believe every one of my students should be here, but you are. You're the ones that took action, and you're going to get the benefits every single month of whatever it is I discover. I'm always trying to learn. I burn through a book about every 9 days. Don't love every single one of them, but I love a lot of them, and I take that knowledge and try to put it in play and beat it up and turn it into wisdom, and then I can deliver it back to you. When I do something like the Genius X, or I go to Strategic Coach with Dan Sullivan, or I spend a day with Tony Robbins, or all the other incredible things I'm so blessed to do, I just want to gain all the wisdom I can, and you guys are going to get the benefit of that. So thank you for being here. Pen's ready. Dominic and Christy and Jim and Jill and Michelle and Austin and Robin and everybody, Stacy, everybody's here. Congratulations. Good to have you. So today I want to talk about persuasion. And this morning I got up super early, maybe way too early. I think I was up about 3:45 this morning. That was extra early. I don't usually get up that early. And this morning I laid out the agenda for you guys before I hit the gym, before I did my morning routine on persuasion. And I want to get to first kind of the big picture of it. I was looking at that later, but I want to talk about it now. So many people, I know some of you share that you're afraid to sell, or some people even think selling is bad. And I want to kind of set the frame of persuasion, because persuasion, sales, kind of the same thing. But today I'm going to get tactical. I'm going to show you how to break that fear and how to sell. So when we look at selling, if you have a negative association to selling, that just means that at one point in your life, somebody sold you something and maybe you were taken advantage of. Or you had a relative or parents that talked negative about selling because they had a bad experience. But I want you to look at selling in a different light and persuasion in a different light. Is nothing in the world would happen without persuasion. I say this a lot, but was Martin Luther King a salesman? Absolutely. Was Mother Teresa a saleswoman? Absolutely. If they didn't know how to persuade people to take action, to persuade themselves, which I'm going to talk about first, nothing would have happened. It would have been a guy and a girl with a dream, but not actually getting anything done. So when I ask, and you guys can keep commenting here if you want, but pay attention, try to do both. We can do two things. Make sure you're just not doing anything else. Don't be doing social media or talking to anybody else. Let's focus here, because this is important. So let me just ask you, if you don't think you're good at selling or persuading, let me ask you, have you ever persuaded your husband or your wife to go the way you wanted to go? They wanted to go to Florida on a vacation. You wanted to go to Hawaii. And you're like, well, I see both. And with enthusiasm, with excitement, or however you did it, you persuaded them to go to the place you wanted to go on vacation, or persuaded to go have the kids go to the school you wanted to go, even if your husband or wife didn't know, or whatever, your significant other, or persuaded them to go to a certain restaurant or whatever it is. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone to a great movie? And you see a friend, like, oh my God, you have to go see this new movie. About 20 minutes in, you're like, your hair stands up. You can't believe it. Go see it. It's at this theater. If you've ever done anything like that, that's selling. That's persuading. That's a low level, but you are. And think about that. When I'm selling, when I'm persuading, what are you typically? Could I persuade you if you showed up today and I was like, hey, everybody, I'm really glad you showed up to the Millionaire Success Habits. I think you should listen to me today. No, that's not. When you persuade, you're on fire. You're enthusiastic. You have lots of energy. You're really your best self. So I'm gonna go in I have a plan here today, but I really want you to open your mind up to knowing that whether you want to persuade a spouse or a loved one or a child or a parent, or you want to persuade people to take action and give you a credit card for the amazing service or product you have, selling and persuasion is a must. If not, you'll just obsess on the product, obsess on the details, obsess on the structure, and no money coming in, and you either got a business that fails or a business that causes you stress. So here we go. We're going to go down the bullets that I laid out for you at about 4 o'clock this morning. You ready? Okay. Let's see. First, it all starts with a vision. Now, I'm not going to go really deep on vision today because I want to talk on persuasion. But the people who persuade the most know exactly where they want to go. So instead of me going deep on it, go back to the R factor question I always talk about. It's a year from now. It's the best year of your life. What does that look like? You're looking back. How much money are you making? What are your finances? Where do you want to go in your business, your career? Do you want to rise up through the ranks in your current company, start your own business, or scale the current business, or do a side hustle, do a business on the side? Don't know what that is for you. If you want to write it down, you can, but you need to know. So once you have your vision, here's why I want to tell you. So let's not go any deeper than that. You write down, what's the vision? What do I really want? Because this is the first thing. The first thing you have to do is know what the end goal is, because that's where your persuasiveness, that's where your sales and marketing, everything has got to funnel towards your end goal. What is it that you really want? Sometimes we're pushing for stuff to get through a temporary moment in time, but it's not really our vision, not really our end goal. So first thing about being persuasive, first two things kind of, is knowing where you want to go, knowing your vision, and knowing what the goal is. And then here's the biggest sales job you have to do in the entire world. You have to sell yourself on that every single day. You have to persuade yourself to go in the right direction, to say no to the things that don't serve you, say yes to the things that take you towards that vision and goal. When you sell yourself, you know what happens? You get enthusiasm. You get optimistic. You get persuasive. Let me ask you, have you ever sold anything, got anybody to do anything in your life, had somebody say yes, if you were kind of like I was doing before? Today, you know, if I'm selling cars, you should try the blue one. We should try that restaurant. No, that doesn't work. It works when you're on fire, when you're courageous, when you're confident. And how you get that is knowing your clarity on where you want to go and then selling yourself every day on that big dream, because the news is going to try to steal it from you. Friends are going to try to steal it from you. People who love you are going to try to steal it from you. Your work's going to try to steal. The rough day at the office, the rough day at your business, the rough day of sales online is going to try to steal it from you. So you got to wake up the next morning, know where you're going, and sell yourself on your bigger vision. Now, when you sell yourself, then you have the energy to give out to other people. You have the enthusiasm to give other people. So I want to lean right into enthusiasm. You know, thank you so much. We're getting a lot of comments here. Dean, it's your enthusiasm that sells me on everything you offer. Thank you, Jill. I want to let you know it comes from the purest place possible. And so here's what I want to share right now. How do you get this enthusiasm? How do you feel like this every single day? I'm not saying fake it. And there's not this manufactured way. I'm not saying to use it as a sales tactic. This is just who I am. But how do I get enthusiastic? It's because I know where I want to go. I feed my soul with the things that light me up, like your comments. When I see thousands, I've read tens of thousands of comments from my students that I'm changing their lives. They're loving my books, loving my courses, loving what I train. I read that. It feeds my soul. It lights me up. You guys, Jill, you help bring this enthusiasm out. But again, I know where I'm going, right? I also, and this is going to get off a minute, but I want to get in here for a moment. is what can drag your enthusiasm down is when you're dragging your past, like you got a boat dragging it across the desert. You're holding the anchor rope and you're dragging the boat. You're bringing your whole past with you. You're like, oh, how could I do this new thing with all this? It's time to cut the rope. It's time to let the past go. Burn it. You know, my mentor said, you know, it's like you're in a house and everything on the walls is your past. And the house is on fire and you got a suitcase. Let it all burn. Just grab the stuff that serves you. Grab the stuff you learn from. Grab the things that empower you. Stuff them in the suitcase and let the past burn. There's not enough energy to focus on that and go to your new future and have the enthusiasm. So you let the past burn and you bring what you've done with you. First of all, that's a positive focus. You take that. Now you look towards the future on your new goals, your new vision. Where do you want to go? When you do that, and you realize that, let me just back up for a minute. Enthusiasm and authenticity will outweigh being overprepared and overstudied and perfect on camera or perfect on writing or perfect on a YouTube video or perfect when you do the job, when you talk to your boss. I just want to say that again. Enthusiasm and authenticity outweighs everything. I look back at my career, guys, I didn't go past high school. I don't have a great vocabulary. I know that I don't. I don't use monster words. I don't articulate super well. I use amazing, awesome, fantastic. I use those words a lot. I know that I do. But you can tell this isn't coming from something I fake. This isn't coming from some script I'm looking at right now. It's coming because I know you are on the other side there right now taking this knowledge in and you need it to change your life. If I don't give it to you with all of me, it's just going to be something else you watch. I want you to be here every single month. Or if you're watching the replay, I want you to feel it and know that this works. You can gain that same amount. You don't have to be an extrovert that was born with this ability to walk in a room and say, hey, everybody, look, I'm here. I'm still one of the shyest guys. I am such an introvert. I hide around crowds. I can go on stage in front of 20,000 people and rock it. I can do it on camera, but I'm still a little shy. But when I'm on, when I'm doing my thing, then you get all of me. And I want you to find a way to be your most enthusiastic self. Bring the past that serves you. Get motivated about tomorrow. Don't let anybody get in your way. Say no to the things that don't serve you. Say yes more to the things that will. And start finding the energy. Because let me tell you something. If you're in a job and you'd like to rise up through the ranks, or you see someone else in the company come in and they went past you, like, what the heck? Let me just tell you this. Start going to work, even if you don't love your job, with enthusiasm. Before we even get to the tricks to persuade, and I say tricks, but they're really, it's to empower people to take an action, right? If I got you to be here today, for what you paid to be here, I'm gonna over-deliver in a massive way. I will do anything in my power to get people on this. You want to feel the same way. You want to get a raise. Start with the enthusiasm. And I want to share, I'm digressing here a little. One more thing I want to share. When I was in my 20s, I used to fix cars. I hated it. I painted cars. I fixed fenders. Had body work on my hands, paint on my hands. Got headaches from fumes. I hated it. But I have to be honest with you. I was enthusiastic every single day. You know why? Because I knew I had to do that to get to where I really wanted to go. That was a stepping stone. And I did it like I love being a collision repair guy. I freaking hated it. But I did it enthusiastically because I burned everything in my past that didn't serve me. I felt empowered and I knew where I wanted to go. And I knew enthusiasm was going to get me there because I didn't have money and I wasn't that smart. Let me just say it like it is. I had enthusiasm. So let's find that enthusiasm. And one of the ways to really get... Everybody says, what's your secret to marketing, Dean? I got a lot of things. I've been marketing for years. I have to get people engaged in what I have. But the number one thing, and you should write this down, the number one thing I truly believe is why I can talk to you on camera like this, why I love the sell, why I love the market, is because I truly believe that if I didn't get you here, if I don't get people to engage in my courses or buy my books, that I am doing you a disservice. You see, if I didn't persuade you to be here, if I didn't persuade you to pull out a credit card to be here today, you might give someone else a credit card and maybe they won't serve you as good as I am. I'm not going to knock all my competitors, but I know a lot of them suck, for lack of better words. So if they're better at persuading and worse on the product, then I did you a disservice because I didn't get you to say yes to me. Someone else did. I'm not going to let that happen. I want to be the best, right? Secondly, worse is if I don't get you to give me a credit card and be here today, persuade you to take action, maybe you do nothing. And maybe life stays exactly the same. You see, today and every time I train, and when you're here every single month, you really can throw away most of the stuff I say and look for those two or three things that you just go, oh my God, that hit me. That's me. I could use this. I could feel, I can implement that in my life. That's what makes a difference. So when I know, and I want you to feel the same way, when you know that what you're offering somebody, the service, the product, the rise through the ranks, you know, the promotion, or even in a relationship, when you know what you're offering comes from your heart and you know it can take their life to another level, then you need to bring the enthusiasm and the persuasion to the highest level possible. Listen, if you know fixing your relationship is better for your heart, for your spouse, for your kids, it's what's right, and not just what's right, it's what you want. You can go in and do a lot of different things and you can study, and but you go in with enthusiasm and you go in with that passion of knowing it's the best thing for everybody, or you create a new course, or you create a new product, or you write a book, or you should be the manager. When you know that that's a better solution for everyone, then you better ramp up the selling. You better ramp up the persuasion, because you're not going to get it by being quiet and hope somebody notices you. That's the way it should be, but let's just face it, that's not the way it is. If you don't sell, if you fear selling, you're going to stay where you are. You know, so many times in life, people start a business and they'll obsess on what they deliver, what the product is, and they should. But once you get to a point where you know what you're offering is so amazing, it's the best, it changes lives, then your energy's got to be focused on sales and marketing. Okay, so now we're going to shift gears a little bit. Thanks for all the comments coming in, guys. I appreciate you. Iam, Robin, Jennifer, Mark, Diane, Jill, everybody, keep the comments coming in and get your questions ready. So we'll go another 15, 20 minutes, and then I want to interact with you guys. I want to make sure I answer the questions you have. So I talked about nothing happens without selling. Selling's not evil. Love what you are offering, no matter what that is. Find, and if you don't love it to that nth degree, then fix it. Fix it. Now, here's where we flop a little bit. Here's where I want to really give you some insights that you might have read in my book, but now this is coming directly from me. It's one of the secrets to persuasion, and that is letting people feel understood, not just having them understand you. Did you guys read that in the book? Probably got it. Maybe some of you went right by it. Some of you got it and like, wow. That's not just that sounds pretty good. That's everything. I watched it for years. I watched people come up on stage and somebody's got experience. They've written books. They're a guru or something like that. And they get on stage and they share it with everybody how much they've accomplished and what they've done and what you could do. And that person usually gets off stage with a nice applause and they say, ah, that's a great guy. Ah, that's an awesome girl, man. She accomplished a lot. Really cool. And then there's someone else who would go on stage and they just talk. And you watch the audience's mannerisms are different. They're connected. They're like, oh, wow. And when they're done, it's not just they were good. It's like, wow, I can be better. I can do more. It's because that person made you feel understood. They didn't just say, you know, understand me. So the difference is kind of like the guy up on the hill or the girl up on the hill that's made it and say, come on up. It's great up here. You guys, you'll feel better once you're here. That's great, and you'd be inspired by the person on the hill or the person that gets down in the ditch with you and go, man, I live up there, but hey, I'm here with you. Let's get out of this ditch. Let's get up that hill. I'll help you. Let me give you a push. That's the difference between the two. Let me ask you something. You want to go get a new car. Say, Mark, you're going to get a new car, and you get to the lot, and you pull in. Best dealer, he's been there for 25 years, comes up to you. He says, hey, how you doing? I just want to let you know, I've been here for 25 years. I know these cars inside and out. Best cars on the planet. The new technology, through the roof. Through the roof, the new technology. You know what I think? I think a two-door, the new two-door sport's got the wide wheels, super fast. Good gas mileage, but fast, would fit you perfect. In fact, and he goes on and on and on. That person's still good. They've been there for 25 years. But what is that person doing? He wants to just be understood. This, I'm the guy, been doing it, great car. You need it, Mark. Now, he doesn't know anything about Mark. What if someone new came up, doesn't have the experience, and just simply walked up to you and said, Hey, how you doing? What's your name? Mark? I'm Bob. How you doing? You looking for a car? Yeah. You know, let me ask you, do you have a family? How many kids? Oh, is your wife, is this for you or is it the family car? Hey, do you care about gas or do you care about just luxury? And all of a sudden he's asking and letting you talk. And all of a sudden, Mark, you tell him, I don't know your life story, Mark, but if you have kids or you don't, or you're married or you're not, or you like sports cars or you like SUVs, that second salesman is letting you feel understood to share, yeah, you know, gas mileage, I don't really care. What I want is something big enough. We have three kids and we're always got the friends and we got the baseball gear in the back and I want this and I want that. And when he gets done, he goes, wow, I really understand, Mark. If I think of all the vehicles we have, I think it'd be this model. Because the gas mileage is decent. It's a gorgeous looking vehicle. Could fit your whole family. Your wife would love it. And today we can do something pretty special on that one. All of a sudden, bam, that's the guy. That's an art of persuasion that most people don't get. People go into the conference room. They get well prepared. Like, I got all my notes. I got everything I need. And they go in and say, it's time. It's like hitting the buzzer. And you're like, okay, this is what we have. This is what we're going to do. And I can do this. And I can do that. And I've been doing it forever. And I'm the best. And I can do this. And it's not even self-loathing. It's not like you're flattering yourself or patting yourself on the back, I should say. It's just that you want to get out all the things you can do. I can raise the income for the company. I can do this. Or I deserve that position. And really, if you want to go in and close the deal, go in and listen and find out what people's fears are, what their desires are, what they think a win would be in a year from now. I go into meetings, I know for a fact people when I'm first in there are like, I thought this guy was smart. He hasn't said a word. It's because I used to go in and say, look at me, I'm accomplishing all this in my 20s. I can do this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. And I close a lot of the deals. Now I go in and keep my mouth shut. And when I speak, I close every deal. I don't walk out of a boardroom of either walking away from the deal because I want to or closing it. And in most cases, I just go in and I listen. I watch everybody talk, what they got, what they want. And then I'll just do some clarity questions and just say, hey, guys, I'm a little confused. If this was the best year of our lives because we worked together, it's a year later, we're back here celebrating, and it was a great year. What does that look like in each one of your eyes? What are you afraid of? What do you hope to accomplish? And all of a sudden, you start hearing their fears, their worries. And you're letting them feel understood. And then you take a moment, you go deeper on that, you look through their glasses. I mean, look at here in the United States. It's so terrible. We got the left and the right because of the new president. It's like this craziness. And if people would just take 5 minutes, I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. What I'm saying is when people could take 5 minutes and just wear the glasses of the other person and see how there's a place in the middle to allow the other person at least to feel understood, not to change your values, not to change your core beliefs, but just to allow the other person to feel understood. If we can make everybody else feel understood without even agreeing with them, we can make this world a better place. But we start with making the world a better place by you getting your message, your business, your new side hack, or your new side hustle, your relationships, your you know, rising up through the ranks, getting the promotion you deserve. If you will let people feel understood, it's a game changer. Again, I know I wrote about this in my book, some of this, but what happens when you want to get a promotion? I watch people, they'll try to prove how great they are. And they should. Work hard. You want to get the promotion. But you really want to get the promotion? Let the person who makes that decision feel understood. Feel their pain. Feel their stress. Feel their goals. You help support that, you'll go up as fast as you could ever imagine. And it's so simple. And the other thing to remember, this is something I tell myself all the time. I'm reading all your comments, guys. Thank you for all the comments. I appreciate it. Think about this too. So many times we get engulfed in our story. So we know what we're thinking, what we want, and we might not be where our prospects are. If you're starting a business, your prospects, the people that might be your clients someday, or maybe where you used to be, you solved this problem and now you want to help people, or a spouse, or anywhere, any relationship you could think of. And we'll talk a lot of times on the conversation in our head. And I want you to think about finishing the sentences that are going on in other people's minds. Enter conversations going on in their head, not ours. Think about that. I know, as subtle as that sounds, I hope you're really grasping that, because we've evolved to a place where people don't even listen anymore. They're just waiting for you to shut up so they can talk. You want to make a difference? You want someone to listen. You want someone to hear you. Enter a conversation they're having. Finish their sentences. I'm not talking about faking it, but live in their moments. For me, I've been blessed to have a great deal of success, but I know so many of you are thinking about a new business, thinking about real estate, thinking about another side, you know, hustle business that you want to do, or just wondering, should I stay in my job? I know what that feels like, but here's the thing. When I talk to you, when I'm here right now, what I'm doing, what I'm picturing is all of you. Those of you who have a great business with success and want to go that next level and scale, these strategies work. Those of you scared, not knowing where to start, these strategies work. I want to enter the conversation that's going on in your head. I want you to feel understood when I talk to you, because I've been blessed to generate millions of dollars and fly all over the world and meet great people. My conversations are different that are going on in here, of where I want to take my business, my company, what legacy I want to leave for my kids, the dad I want to be. I don't want to come in here and talk about the millions I've made and how I'm mass producing my marketing, and I have 2 CFOs and 3 assistants. That wouldn't be a conversation that would fit. When I'm here right now, I'm living in the moment of how it felt for me when I felt insecure, when I felt lonely, when I felt I wasn't going to get ahead, when I felt I wasn't tapping into my full potential, when I felt life was going to pass me by, when I felt like I wasn't getting what I deserve, I wasn't utilizing my talents. I know those feelings. They still live inside of me, and I tap into that. So I want to enter conversations you're having at every single level. And that's the same thing we need to do in any area of your life you want to persuade. Once you sell yourself, our job is to persuade others in an ethical way. Listen, if you're selling drugs, if you're pushing gambling, if you're pushing cigarettes or stuff that hurts people, then selling's bad. But without persuasion, people don't take action. The reason you might have an iPhone, the reason you have a laptop or the certain car you have, all of it is because of selling. And when you tap into it, that's where the biggest jump in your business and your life go to. Authenticity, enthusiasm, and persuasion. I don't know. I think I'd argue and add in marketing. I think I'd argue that it is by far the biggest secrets to success. You know, we get confused and overwhelmed with all the different delivery systems. And if I start a business, do I go on Facebook and YouTube, or do Twitter, or do I do Instagram, or do I just start a brick and mortar business, or do I work from home? Like, we think of all those pieces and we get overwhelmed, when really it boils down to some of the things that we're talking about right here, right today. That's where it starts. Okay, next thing I want to talk about. Let's talk about the difference between needing and wanting when it comes to persuading. Mark, am I seeing into your life? That's awesome, man. I'm going to get back to your questions in a minute. I want to get this out, and then we'll spend some time together, okay? Let's see. What they want compared to what they need. Let's just be honest. A lot of us, a lot of the country, a lot of the world need to eat better. A lot of people need to stop eating sugar. A lot of people need to work on their relationships. A lot of people need to be more engaged parents. A lot of people need to stop being sucked into the digital world and waste hours and hours on stuff that doesn't fuel their heart. A lot of people need to get to the gym. A lot of people need to exercise just because they need to. Doesn't mean they're going to. You may need to do one of those things. Right now, as I said that, you're like, yipes, that was me. Sorry. You might need to, but you are not going to do it until you want to do what? Until you want to do it. So many people will create a product, a service, or talk to a spouse, talk to your boss. You talk to your boss, you need me to do this. He might need it. Doesn't mean he wants it. You might talk to your kids. You need to get off the iPhone so much, but if they don't want to, it's going to be really hard to do it. So what we do, and you're going in your own business or starting something new, you're like, everybody needs this. Everybody needs this new widget. They need this new pen that does XYZ. But it doesn't mean it's going to sell unless people want that pen or want what you provide. So I really want you to think about the difference between needing and wanting. And how do you overcome that in persuasion? Sometimes you got to tell people, you got to give people what they want, or offer people what they want, and actually give them what they need. So let's just say, let's talk about kids. just because it's something I work on at my house all the time. My kids on too much digital, too many iPads and stuff. I want them to engage. We don't no electronics during dinner or when we go out. It's not their babysitter. We just decided that. You could have completely different choices. That's a choice I made. And so if I said to a parent, do you ever tell a parent how to raise their kids? I never had, because I don't want to get my head chopped off, right? I don't want anybody telling me, and I'm not going to give anybody advice. And if they ask, I still tread lightly, okay? But if someone was at a restaurant and they were friends and their kids were on the iPad the entire time and not talking and not paying attention, I could say, hey, you know, that your kids really need to stop doing that. They would socialize more. I might get a backhand, or they might just pack up and leave. I can't tell them what they need. But if I just happen to start a conversation and say, ma'am, all I know is that, you know what I want? I want it to be when I'm 95 and I'm about ready to close my eyes. I want to think about, did I do all I could to be a great dad? Did I do everything I could to empower my kids to just live a fulfilled life? I don't care if they're rich. I just want them to do what they're passionate about. I want them to live a fulfilled life, and I want them to experience gratitude for the smallest things. If I did that, I would be great. You know, and when I think about things like that, I try to think of the things now that could help them be more empowered. And I know being social is so huge. You know, in today's world with social media, kids are just, they're antisocial. They don't even realize it. And nothing happens without communication. Nothing happens without selling. And I think of one of the things that I think I could help my kids with is not let them get sucked into social media and the digital world so much, so they communicate better. I think that would be one of the things. I want them to be more fulfilled, and I think I could do that. All of a sudden, that's a completely different conversation. In their head, they're going, ooh, I want my kids to be good too. Maybe I should do that. Completely same exact result. No, not the same result. Same thing you're asking them to do when you tell them they need it. But if you can find a way to let them know they want it, then all of a sudden you can break that barrier and get inside here and show them that there's a better path. So sometimes that selling them what they want, but giving them what they need, right? Okay, address the problem and the question. Okay, credential. Okay, good stuff. Okay, I'm going to read a couple of your things here. Okay, Dean, you're seeing my life. Okay, Mark, am I reading it? Yes, I agree. Question, what action steps would you take to assist in moving past your own insecurities? Jennifer, moving past your own insecurities. You know, I'm going to start getting to some questions here. And then I got a great close I want to share with you. We all have insecurities. And there's a million answers to that, but I know mine. I couldn't read in school. I was always embarrassed. I hated being in special reading, and I just figured that was the life for me, because I had those insecurities. It made me shy. It made me, I was afraid of girls in high school, all that stuff, because I was insecure. And I was lucky enough to flop that. And I want to ask you this, Jennifer, and you can think about this, right? Is there is no doubt you're here. You are doing what most of the world isn't. You are looking for the wisdom, the knowledge, the capabilities to take your life to another level. That's why you're here. So I already know we're kindred spirits. I already know you've done amazing things in your life. So what I talk about, I don't know what chapter it is in the book, in my book, Millionaire Success Habits, but I want you to think about this today. The hell with your insecurities. The hell with the things you're not that good at. I don't know what it is if you feel insecure about your looks or your outfit, or I mean your the amount of money you have, the amount of time you had, or your capabilities, or your education, or your job. I don't know what it is. But what if you just spent the next 24 hours thinking about all the things you're good at? All the things that you've done amazing. You've done incredible things in your life. There's no doubt. Don't lie to me and don't lie to yourself. You've done awesome things. You've accomplished great stuff. You've done cool stuff. And you're really good at some stuff. Do me a favor. Do the next 48 hours. Flood yourself with only those thoughts. I'm not asking you to identify the weaknesses and insecurities. Just do the opposite. Well, sometimes when we have an insecurity, it's like a thorn. It's in our leg, and we just focus on it and focus on it and focus on it. And sometimes you're like, I wish I could pull that thorn out, but I can't. It's because no. Ignore the thorn for a moment and spend the next 48 hours focusing on what a badass you are in all these different areas, the things you've accomplished, and let that fill your heart. And watch how quick that insecurity starts to mean nothing. You know what I'd love for you to think about? Look in the mirror. Do this today too. Look in the mirror and say that insecurity out loud. and say, is that insecurity, am I going to give that insecurity the power for me to look in this mirror 5 years from now and know and realize I didn't make a move? To look in this mirror 10 years from now and realize I did nothing different. You're gonna give that insecurity that much power? Are you kidding me? Get rid of that thing by focusing on what you're really good at. And I think you'll see a big difference over the next 48 hours. Okay, let's get some more questions. Let's see. You know what? Do me a favor, which is great. You guys are awesome. Robin, anybody, if you have a question, write question first so I can just pop over and I don't want to spend too much time looking this way. Somewhere along the way, you suggested parenting with love and logic. If you have children, oh my God, what a difference. Thank you. Jill, love and logic parenting. If you love that, amazing. Do one more. Everybody who has children or if you have friends with children, buy the book and read it cover to cover as fast as you can called How to Talk to Your Kids So They Listen and How to Listen to Your Kids So They Talk. Write that down. How to Talk to Your Kids So They Listen and How to Listen to Your Kids So They Talk. Game changer. Jill, you're going to love that one. Everybody with parents, you should read it. Question, Robin. Robin said, how did you change your approach to listening more and asking better clarity questions? In addition to practice, are there books like The Millionaire Success Habits? And also, do you have any further comments on persuading in the workplace when trying to persuade upper management in your views? Okay, two really quick. How did it happen? It's time. I have my 10,000 hours in. I've negotiated a lot. I've sold a lot. I've been on TV forever, selling on TV. I got to sell to a camera, right? I can't even see the other person's face. So I do have the time. I put my hours in. So it's time, Robin. But I know over time, it got simpler for me. I used to think I had to over-prepare, create the perfect PowerPoint, the perfect presentations. I didn't even walk to the whiteboard today. I don't have a presentation today. And let me know, are you getting value out of this? It's because it's just practice and time. But I want to tell you, sometimes the simplest things make the biggest impact. The small hinges swing a big door. I would suggest two things. Spend the next week doing more listening. Next time you're going to negotiate, you want to talk to upper management. I would listen and let them know that they're being heard, right? Talk to upper management and say, hey, I just want to let you know. Robin, you obviously have a job. Go to work this week with more enthusiasm than you have in a long time. People are going to think something's wrong. Just go there, find that energy. Like we talked, I don't want to go through enthusiasm again. Find it, go to work with it. Your boss or upper management, get the opportunity to talk to them, but don't ask what you can do. Hey, can I do anything for you? Just listen and let them feel understood. And if there's something they share, if there's something they do, go take action on it. Work as if you are being paid on your results. That's a really great line my buddy Joe Polish told me. It's like, work as if you're only getting paid on your results. And see if you can do things that are helping them gain their goals or reach their goals and have them overcome their worries. Do that, building reciprocity that way. Write a handwritten letter this week to someone that you have a boss or upper management that have given you a job, even if you're not super happy with them, pull out the pieces you like, write them a handwritten note and just say, I just want to let you know I appreciate being here and I'm ready for another level. Something along those lines. Let them know that you appreciate them. You watch the difference. Okay, let's see. Is selling the first 50% of the equation and product delivery is the other 50%? Okay, great question, Ian. Here's what I know. Is most people focus on product development. They're gonna write a book, they'll spend 2 years writing a book, 2 years creating a course, a year creating the new company. They'll spend all this energy and effort on creating it, and then they get done and go, how am I gonna sell this? What am I gonna do with my book? How am I gonna get people to my restaurant? How am I gonna sell my course, get this real estate deal done? They spend so much time on this, they forget the marketing. And the best way I could say is marketing and sales. If this is the vehicle of, 50-50 is about good, but 50-50, until the product's perfect, and then it's about 80-20. Then you want to spend all your time on marketing and sales once the product or the service is mastered. But I would say as you're building it, whatever business or company you're building, pretend you're in the product car driving, and then right alongside of you is the sales and marketing car. They got to be in alignment. They got to be right alongside of each other. Go back and forth on the energy that you give both. Don't give all this energy and then go, oh, how do I sell it? Think about that all the way through. Be a massive difference in whatever it is that product or service you have. All right. Let's see. Question. How do you persuade in 5 minutes or less? My target audience, CEOs, have little time. That's a good one. What's their biggest pain? If your target audience is CEOs, you know everything about them. What do they worry about the most? What complexity do they have that you can eliminate? I don't know what service you offer, but if I had 5 minutes to talk to a CEO, I'd say, you know CEOs better than I do, but I would say, being a CEO, when you have the vision and you're driving the company, I know what it's like when you need an implementer. You need somebody to take away the complexity so you could focus on the vision of the company. When you get stuck in the day-to-day, tell me that it's not difficult worrying about the tactical pieces or worrying about the managers or taking care of their departments. The way you do that is whatever your CTA is. The way you can do that to allow yourself to live into your unique ability, to live into that potential that got you to CEO, that drove this company, that's taken it to the next level, is you need the right implementers. And I have a process to create the right implementers so you can do what you do best and they can do what they do, whatever you're selling, right? But addressing someone's concerns, their fears, and overcoming their, as a CEO, I would say the two things a CEO dreams about the most, reducing complexity and enjoying the fruits of their hard work. They're not CEO by accident. In most cases, it's not a dad that just appointed. Someone worked their ass off to get there. So eliminate complexity, show them how to go faster and get more freedom. You can do that in about 90 seconds. Okay, question. You recommend so many books, and no joke, my question is, how do you find them? I struggle getting them, and despite me finding where I'm losing, here's what I'm gonna do. Jill, what I will do is, in the back office here, I'm gonna make a note. Mike, can you remind me? Mike's here. I will get Jeremy or someone on my team to post my last 10 favorite books, and you guys can go through those, and I'll recommend them as much as I can. There's a great book, a business book called Rocket Fuel. Rocket Fuel is a great book that talks about the visionary and the implementer. So in business, must read. See if you're the visionary, the implementer, and how to team up. The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. I won't say the word just in case your kids are watching. The subtle Art of Not Giving an F. You can imagine what the F word is. That's a book I've read recently. I think it's amazing. I always talk about The Untethered Soul. Great book. Let's see, what's another book I read recently? Let me just look through and then suggest them, and then I'll make sure we put them in the back office. Okay, how to talk to your kids so they listen, and how to talk, there it is. How to Talk to Your Kids So They Will Listen, and Listen So They Will Talk by Adele Faber. Thank you very much, Jill. That is an you are going to freaking thank me on that one. I took my parenting skills to a whole new level with that one. Okay, Mark. Dean, I was fired up going strong in one of the most important goals and ran into a massive setback with an accident about 10 days ago. I'm slightly paralyzed, unable to use my right arm. As a concert pianist, I've had a hard, likely cancel 6 concerts this month, including a benefit for Greenpeace. I'm really sorry, first off, Mark. That not being my style, since it's been a series of benefits organizations with Amnesty, I'm going on stage and performing with one hand I have available. First off, man, I'm sorry. That's tough for anyone. And here's the thing. If I just said, hey, everything happens for a reason, Mark, you're going to find something great out of it. When you're in the middle of it and your arm's paralyzed and you're missing that stuff, it just sucks. For anybody to say, just push it away, you'll be fine, things will be better, be grateful for the arm you do have, that all sounds good, but it's still tough, Mark. So here's what I want to tell you. Look back in your life. Even though this is a really tough moment, there's moments where you never knew if you were going to play the piano, if you'd never get the opportunity to have those concerts. There's a relationship you lost. There's something that, and you thought it was over. You thought it was it. And then when you get past it, a few months later, a year later, you realize, thank goodness that happened. The only thing I can say that fits right now in a quick answer is Tony Robbins' line that I love. What if everything in life happened for us, not to us? I don't know the reason that happened. It's not cool. It shouldn't have, but it did. And any energy you spend thinking on why it happened, whose fault it is, it doesn't do anything. My good friend JJ Virgin, her son got hit by a hit-and-run driver when he was 11 years old, almost died, broke almost every bone in his body, head injuries, all these things. And the doctor said best to say goodbye to him, and she just didn't refuse. She just focused on solutions. She hired a helicopter, got him out of the doctors, the hospital where they said he wasn't going to make it, flew him to California, got the best doctors. And when I talked to her about it, she said, you know what? I didn't press charges on him. My son can't get unhit. It was a hit and run. What's it matter? If I punished her, if I find out who did it, if I blamed her, if I called her, it's not going to fix my son. All of my energy had to go towards learning from this and a bigger, better future for my son. So I would take JJ's advice the best you can and say, how can you, you can't undo the accident, dude, and it sucks, but what can you take from it? And how can you maybe now take the time because you're laid up to write that song you were going to write or create the website you were going to do or get that new business started? Maybe this is the break that allows you to have the breakthrough to that next level of life. Not sure what it is, dude, but I promise you, if you can focus your energy on a bigger, better future and a better solution, someday you'll be happy this happened. Okay, we'll take a few more questions here. Okay, Austin, how do you offer value when you don't have the, you can tell I'm not a good reader, right? That's not my unique ability. When you don't have the experience to adequately deliver outstanding results. In my starting a real estate development company and having trouble getting lenders and developers to trust me. Okay, Austin, here's the thing. Everybody thinks, you know, I'll go places and I'll see somebody with all these credentials and I'll say, wow, look at all those credentials. And they'll go to talk. And I'll be like, I'd take a high school kid with more enthusiasm than I would with someone who's overeducated, who's never put anything into play. Austin, if you're here, you're an action taker, dude. You're a badass. That's who's here. That's who comes and listens and learns at a place like this. Your ability to be enthusiastic, to take action and get things done will outweigh your lack of experience. So here's what I would do is, first off, is if there's anybody in your area that you could work with and have them as a mentor to say, you know, I worked with so-and-so, a real estate developer. Go, I don't know what it is you do, and hopefully you've got some of our courses and things that have helped you, but now you need to put it in play, right? Maybe you could find somebody, do it, and go work 10 hours a week for free for them and show them the enthusiasm, the authenticity, the energy, the person you are. Get out there and get experience. And at the same time, listen, when I tell you a story, I'm going to back up. Maybe you've heard this story before, but when I was painting cars, when I was a collision guy and I was doing real estate the best I could, I'd work on cars from 8 in the morning till about 5, 6 at night, go home and eat, and then I go work on houses and apartments I was buying and land. I was just humping. I was just going. I didn't have a lot of experience in real estate. I was knocking on a gazillion doors. This is way back in the day. And finally, you know, a guy, I was trying to put a bigger deal together. First deal that was big. It actually ended up being the first deal that I took in $1 million. True story, documented. And I needed $80,000 to make, $90,000 to make this deal happen. And I didn't have it. I was tapping credit cards. I wanted this deal so bad. And somebody's car that I fixed came in and saw my enthusiasm, saw my energy, and said, I was intrigued and asked me what I did. I started telling about my real estate and what I was doing and hustling. That guy lent me $90,000. That deal ended up bringing in over $1 million about 7 years, 8 years later. It was an unbelievable opportunity. And I got it because of who I was and my momentum. It had nothing to do with my experience. I had never done a deal like that in my life. I promise you, there's more people out there that will invest in you, work with you, want to make money with you because of your energy, your authenticity, and your enthusiasm. So I hope that helps. Okay, we'll take a couple more here. Let's see. Happy Valentine's Day. I read that and nearly cried. Damn, pretty much missing. Okay, thanks, Dean. Speaking my inner dialogue once again. Mark, okay, question. Enthusiasm for me, it comes when I feel I'm doing things I'm interested in, but there are many people who won't count on my work. How do I put the two hats on? And I'm sorry for spelling grammar. I'm not native. Let me just tell you. It's kind of what I just shared. It's kind of what I just shared with. Is it Ian or Mark? No. It's kind of what I just shared. It's your enthusiasm. I know it's easy to be enthusiastic about things that you love. It's easy to be enthusiastic about things that are easy, right? But it's also like what I tell my kids, and not to digress, but here's what I tell my kids. I said, it's easy to be happy, it's easy to be polite, it's easy to be in a good mood when everything's going right. Who can't do that? Where true winners emerge is when they can do it with a headache. I had a line that someone said that, you know, true professionals, true athletes will do it when they're injured, will play when they're injured, will play with a headache. You know, Michael Jordan, whether you know who Michael Jordan was, the greatest basketball player to live, you know, in that final game when they played Utah. And I had the chance to be friends with Michael and go to dinner with him and getting that story firsthand. He was up, the true story is he was up at 1 o'clock in the morning stressed about the big game. And he was starving. And he called and ordered pizza. He was in Park City, Utah. And he got the pizza, and he doesn't know if the pizza was bad. It sat out all day. It was the only place still open. He eats his pizza. He wakes up next day. It's the final game of the NBA Finals, the biggest game. They're tied 3-3. The first person to get the four wins wins, and he's waking up puking, fever, sick, headache, and he still went and played. If you remember that game, if you're watching, if you don't know anything I'm talking about, just you watch that game with a towel on his head. He's sitting on the sidelines. Sweat pouring off his face before he even started. He's laying on his back every time out, every quarter change, every time he could get out, and he still played. And that's kind of the way you have to create the enthusiasm muscle, the persuasive muscle. It's easy to be persuasive when everything's easy. When you can do it when things aren't going good is when you go to the next level. Let's see. They're going so fast. Thanks, guys, for all the great things. Needed to hear that right now. Dean, I have an awesome opportunity to purchase additional investment properties. Awesome. Stephanie, go for it. Robin, awesome to comment and share with Mark. Mark, you see the love you're getting here. That's amazing. Tom Gilbert, what's up, man? You would be the perfect person to share. Tom Gilbert was in my office here yesterday. Tom, it was great spending time with you. Listen, everybody, I truly... just reading this and seeing that bond, this is a group where you can keep each other accountable. I see all the love being shared in here, but I want to kind of circle back around to the importance of persuasion, the importance of knowing that if you don't sell, if you don't let the world know what you are made of, no one will hear you. It's too loud out there. It's too loud in the email inbox. It's too loud on Facebook and all other online advertising. It's too loud on social media. It's too loud where you work. But you have an unfair advantage. You desire more, and you're actually seeking out the wisdom. Most people just want more. They're driving in a car with a fast motor and they have no GPS. They're just going fast. And even if they become an entrepreneur, as Dan Sullivan would say, he would call them a treadmill entrepreneur. They're going fast, but they're not going anyplace. You have an unfair advantage. You have me and the other capabilities you're seeking out. I want to let you know, they're as busy as it is out there. If you can fine-tune just a handful of these skills, if you can fine-tune one, you can carve your niche out. In real estate, in life, in happiness, in rising up through the ranks in your business, in starting your real estate business finally, or taking your real estate company to 5 deals a month rather than 1 deal a month. All of that is available by grabbing the unfair advantages, grabbing the new capabilities, modeling those who are doing it at a high level, and actually put it into play. Remember, knowledge alone is useless. Knowledge plus action. And I'd love to add one more thing. The right knowledge and the right capabilities with massive action, there'll be no stopping you. Guys, thank you so much for being here live, sharing so much. I had an incredible time being here with you. The cool part, this video will be, we're live right now, but it'll be in the back office. You can watch it as many times as you want, take notes, pull out a couple takeaways that you're going to do this week. If this is the first time you're watching as a replay, glad to have you here. Don't try to get here live if you can so we can comment, but if not, you're getting the same exact wisdom. And to everybody, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for the great comments, and enjoy the day. And it's time to take control. I'll see you guys later.